This webcast is made possible in part by support from the listener members of the Classical Network, WWFM and WWFM.org. Thank you for your support.
Hello, I'm Michael Stern, Artistic Director of Iris Orchestra, and this is Iris Wired. For all composers, inspiration begins with their own musical experiences. Music heard in childhood preps us to become the musicians, or the listeners for that matter, that we will eventually be. The sounds that surround us in the natural world, combined with the cultural traditions and the musical vernacular that form us, becomes our musical mother's milk, so to speak, and informs what any composer hears in his or her mind's ear. On today's Iris Wired broadcast, there are three works whose very nature is rooted in their authors' love and study of their native folk music traditions. The most important ethnomusicologist of the 20th century was the blazingly intellectual and fiercely original composer Béla Bartók, and his deeply folk-infused Divertimento for Strings opens this program. We then step back to the 19th century to revel in Dvorak's Slavonic dances, and then to deepen our sense of how a composer can use folk sources as a touchstone for a whole symphony, we'll close with Vaughan Williams' wonderful Symphony No. 5. Stay with us for some beautiful listening ahead.
And I'm David Ozenberg, and we welcome you to another broadcast in our bi-monthly series, Iris Wired, Concerts by Iris Orchestra. This the start of the third season of broadcasts presenting this world-class ensemble. The orchestra began as a bold experiment in September 2000, still bold and still experimenting, as an acknowledged centerpiece of cultural life in the Mid-South. This astonishing success stems in part from the innovative structure envisioned by founding artistic director and principal conductor Michael Stern. Iris Orchestra boasts a stellar roster of talent from the leading orchestras, universities, and chamber groups in the country, all of whom share a passionate commitment to the highest standards of performance. These virtuosic musicians assembled under one roof as the resident orchestra of the Germantown Performing Arts Center in Germantown, Tennessee, have created an exhilarating laboratory for musical discovery. Over these many seasons, Iris Orchestra has earned an international reputation as a champion of new American music, including works commissioned and premiered by Iris, and consistently receives critical praise for its precise and nuanced interpretations of the classical canon. A clear confirmation of the caliber of Iris Orchestra is the stunning list of musical luminaries who make time on their schedule to join Iris as guest artists. These range from their first soloist on that first concert back in October 2000, cellist Yo-Yo Ma, to violinists Itzhak Perlman, Joshua Bell, Gil Shaham, Midori, soprano Dawn Upshaw, pianist Yefim Bronfman, Andre Watts, Garrick Olson, and Emmanuel Axe. The list of composers Iris has commissioned is equally distinguished, and Iris recordings have earned places on the 10 best lists of the New York Times, the Chicago Tribune, and the Baltimore Sun. Not surprisingly, musicians feel an extraordinary loyalty to Iris. More than 50 members of the orchestra have returned to Iris for more than 10 seasons, even as Iris members and alumni have assumed leadership positions in some of the world's foremost orchestras, including Boston, Cleveland, Philadelphia, San Francisco, and even the Royal Concertgebouw Orchestra of Amsterdam. Fundamental to the Iris philosophy is the idea that the orchestra's members do not simply alight several times a year and leave, but instead put down strong roots in the Germantown, Memphis community. Connection to community both on and off stage is at the core of the Iris mission. From the beginning, the orchestra has made a commitment to deepen and enrich musical education in the Mid-South. Iris musicians regularly go out into the community to perform for and mentor students at public and private elementary, middle, and high schools. The orchestra's renowned guest soloists give professional master classes, and for adults, there are evening lecture series that explore the week's program in depth. Here now is Maestro Michael Stern to tell you about the first work on tonight's program.
Béla Bartók's interest in the music of his native Hungary was lifelong. Early in his college days, he realized that the study of indigenous musical materials could not only be enriching as a pursuit in his own right, but could also provide a fruitful source of inspiration. In that corner of Eastern Europe, where so many languages and traditions overlapped with so much linguistic, musical, and even cultural diversity, he knew well that in order to study it properly, he would need to devise a very systematic approach. Together with his good friend and musical co-conspirator, his fellow composer Zoltán Kodály, Bartók made field recordings from all over Europe, the Caucasus, and even the Arabian Peninsula and Turkey, and then brought them back to Budapest to transcribe, catalog, and cross-reference them. And in the process, he developed his own compositional reflexes. His Divertimento for String Orchestra, written in 1939 just before the outbreak of World War II, puts on display his signature musical language while incorporating the rustic rhythms and unique vocalizations of the indigenous music that he recorded as part of his ethnomusicological research. The first movement opens with a quick and cheerful dance, at the outset showing a certain gypsy character. Right from the beginning, melodic and harmonic thematic materials are often built on modes which sounded exotic to more Western ears, and irregular meters abound. Dance rhythms hold sway throughout. The central movement is brooding, dark, and mysterious. It's the night music which Bartók creates so masterfully. In it, we encounter a dirge keening with anguish in its climax. And the finale is a burst of energy with dizzyingly quick contrasting solo and tutti passages for contrast. So let's hear now this fantastic piece, The Divertimento for Strings, by Béla Bartók. Thank you.
Thank you.
recorded live at the Germantown Performing Arts Center in Germantown, Tennessee, the home of Iris Orchestra. And to begin this concert, where Maestro Michael Stern has chosen works where the composers are inspired by their own musical experiences, we've heard Iris Orchestra perform the 1939 Divertimento for String Orchestra by Béla Bartók. Our next music takes us to a composer highly associated with the revival of the Czech nationalist spirit in music. And once again, here is Maestro Michael Stern.
As we continue with works which honor their composer's native heritage, these next Slavonic dances by Antonín Dvořák hold pride of place. Dvořák, who grew up playing popular music in his father's village inn, had been working in near total obscurity in Prague when he came to the attention of none other than Johannes Brahms. Dvořák had sent some works into an Austrian state composers' competition, aimed at finding talent outside of the main cultural center of Vienna. Brahms was a secret panelist of this competition, and over the course of several years, he watched with increasing interest Dvořák's ongoing and increasingly inventive submissions. Finally, Brahms revealed himself to the astonished Dvořák and asked him to compose something that they could sell through Brahms's own publisher, Simrock. And that resulted in Dvořák's first big work for a broad audience, which he modeled after Brahms's wildly successful Hungarian dances that had been published a few years earlier. As was the case with the dances by Brahms, Dvořák's Slavonic dances were initially published as piano duos, but Dvořák later arranged them for full orchestra. The first set, Opus 46, was published in 1878 and is the one heard in this performance, while the other, Opus 72, appeared later in 1886. In these exuberant and tuneful dances, Dvořák was not so much quoting or arranging actual Slavonic folk music, but rather co-opting traditional Slavonic folk dance rhythms into original music. Dvořák was a prolific melodist, so this whole process was a completely natural one for him. These delightfully and deceptively sophisticated works are irresistible, and they sound as organic as improvisations. There are 8 dances in all, with titles that stray a bit geographically from Slavonia, which lies in present-day Croatia. Dvořák gives us furiance, which are Czech dances, but also Ukrainian dumkas, Polish polkas, and Moravian suseks, and they all come together in a happy musical mashup. Here is Iris Orchestra in Dvořák's popular set of Slavonic dances, Opus 46.
Thank you. Of you keeping score, we now start the last four dances of Opus 72.
Thank you.
Antonín Dvořák's Slavonic Dances is Opus 46 and a few from Opus 72, as performed by Iris Orchestra, led by their artistic director and founder, Maestro Michael Stern, recorded live in concert at the Germantown Performing Arts Center in Germantown, Tennessee, the home of Iris Orchestra on this Iris Wired. We're now in our third season presenting this wonderful orchestra and their programs. Tonight's offering, as put together by Maestro Michael Stern, we're exploring composers who are inspired by their own musical experiences and the environment around them. So true of Dvorak with his Slavonic Dances. We're going to go to England next, a composer who was right at the epicenter of the English folk song revival, but here taking all that inspiration and knowledge he absorbed from learning and transcribing the folk songs and pouring it into the time-honored form of the symphony. Coming up in a moment, music of Ralph Vaughan Williams. You're listening to Iris Wired, featuring the Iris Orchestra, as led by their artistic director, Michael Stern. Iris Wired is an exclusive production of the award-winning Classical Network and WWFM.org.